This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are on SatMag Joy 949. Really quickly, the Fin Review has a great interview with Michael Abeed from SBS.
It does.
Have a look at it.
And Robert, thank you for organising that interview with Angie Green.
Yeah, isn't she
fantastic?
Great?
Magnificent
isn't
young
she
woman.
Yeah,
yes.
And you know, she's absolutely committed to it. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to get behind this event and make sure it's a success for her.
Excellent.
Right. Michael Kroger is president of the Liberal Party in Victoria, and he's been on Joy on SatMag a couple of times before. Welcome back, Michael.
Morning. How are you, Anka?
Good, good. Doyley's here.
Hi, Michael.
The Lord Mayor.
How are you, Michael?
And
I'm very well. And we call him Your Excellency, Macca.
Yes.
That's not what they call me here, Michael, believe me.
No, Michael, we have to be honest. He gets called Dolly here. We had to give him a name that was appropriate for our studio.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fair enough. I hope he's got his robes on and his, you know, all those
the chains.
Paraphernalia.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I wonder, are you enrolled in Menzies as Dolly Doyle?
No, I'm not. I think you'll find. Thank you.
He's dripping with bling nonetheless, Michael.
Look, we're coming into the Prime Minister's is going to visit the Governor-General tomorrow. We understand the election will be the 2nd of July. One thing I want to ask you, Michael, what for you and for the party is this election about? What is the choice that people have to make?
Look, it's essentially about the future of the Australia, the immediate future of the Australian economy, and which party is best to stimulate the economy so that it can provide the maximum amount of jobs and profits, I should say, going forward, because one leads to the other. To me, that's the essential issue here. We still have global financial headwinds. We have a slowing China economy. As we know, the whole mining boom is over. So where are those new jobs going to come from? And, Macca, I look at it this way. In Australia, there's about 12 million people employed. 10 million of them are in the private sector. 2 million are employed by government, one form or another. So for the jobs for the future, for our kids, et cetera, you've got to find jobs in the private sector. And that's where I think the Turnbull plan is the plan for the future, whereas on the other hand, the Shorten plan is about basically consuming every dollar that's raised and re-spending it, but not being able to focus on jobs for the future.
There's, if I can put this to you, Michael.
Having his line scrambled, I think.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. For those of us who are passionate about marriage equality, and there's no disagreement in the studio and with yourself, people have a very clear choice. If this is an issue that's really important to them, if Malcolm wins, we're going to have what I regard as a really divisive situation with a plebiscite.
And it's an expensive hate campaign.
Expensive hate campaign. But if Shorten wins, we have the commitment for the first 100 days, a bill for marriage equality. Do you think that if your party win the election, is the plebiscite absolutely going to be locked, or do you think we might actually see that Malcolm and some others might go, you know what, we need to actually get this out of the way. Let's not spend $160 million. Let's actually, there are plenty of bills on the notice papers. Why don't we legislate? Or is the plebiscite the only way the coalition will allow this issue to be advanced?
Well, look, at this stage, the plebiscite, Macca, is the official party policy, and that's the way forward. Obviously, that caused concerns with some people for all the reasons that you've explained before on this show and on other shows. So I don't see any move to change that at present. I know there are people with other views, but at the present, that's pretty clearly what the party's position is, and I don't know of any suggestion that that change.
Michael, it's been suggested this week. So with 12 million people employed as a statistic you've just mentioned, $160 million plebiscite, we're looking at probably $12 or $13 per person per taxpayer. Is there an opportunity to spend that money differently? There is the ability to simply change this legislation as it was done back in 2004 at midnight on Friday the 13th of August. There was a change made to the Marriage Act, the Marriage Amendment Bill. Is it not simpler for the party and for those 70-odd percent of Australians who believe that this is the right way to go to simply go into the Parliament and amend the Marriage Amendment Bill of 2004 so that we can take this off the table? You talk a lot about economic growth and stimulating the economy and making jobs. $160 million is a lot of dough that could be put into to health, could be put into education, could be put into job growth and supporting young unemployed people into work. So to my mind, I just find that this is a waste of money when there is the ability and the power and everything that is needed to do it in the Parliament.
Look, you know, there are very respected views on both sides of this argument, and what you've said is a totally legitimate argument and has a great deal of merit. I can't say that, you know, it's a black and white argument that what you said is lacking any merit at all. In fact, it does have a lot of merit. But the other view is that let's give the Australian people a chance to have a vote on the whole issue. Yes, it's very costly.
But with no disrespect, Michael, the Australian people didn't change the legislation. The government did. John Howard's government did. So why should the Australian people vote to change it back?
Let me tell you why I think I should, Pete. Because that's exactly the reason. That Parliament is no more than a group of people that changes election to election. And therefore, anything that they do can be changed election to election. If the Australian people speak, and I believe they will speak overwhelmingly for marriage equality, and I hope it doesn't descend into the politics of hate, which, by the way, doesn't play out terribly well in Australian politics anyway, the Australian people have then spoken. It is beyond any one Parliament or any one group of parliamentarians to change.
But we're still not bound by a plebiscite.
But hang on, you know, if the Australian people speak as they will, it would be a very, very foolish parliamentary party who decided we're actually going to fly in the face of an expressed view by the whole Australian people.
There is no chance at all that the government won't be bound by the decision of the plebiscite. None at all.
So have you told Eric and Corey?
I was going to say there's some members of the party who might disagree with that, who've been quite public in their opposition to whatever the result is. They weren't supported.
Yeah, but then they're one of, you know, millions who are voting in a plebiscite rather than one of, you know, fewer than 100 who are voting. So, you know, if you want to look at proportionality there, I think I'd be going for the plebiscite.
Okay.
Otherwise, those voices do get hurt. Look, and there will be voices on both sides, and that's fine. I think we can have a respectful, you know, adult conversation. I'm absolutely convinced of the result, and I think once that is done, it is then beyond the whim or the vagaries of any individual future parliament. The matter is then closed, and to me that is something that is much more powerful than, after all, what parliamentarians do every day, which is just change the law.
Yeah.
And then they change it back again, and then they alter it and amend it. That's what they do.
Which brings me to superannuation now, Michael. You work, you know, you work in the finance area and mergers and acquisitions, and I want to put a suggestion to you on negative gearing. What do you think of the idea that a change that needs to be made to negative gearing, number one, is to not allow more deductions than 100% of your income as a start?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good idea?
More than 100% income.
So you earn 100 grand, but you've got...
I understand the concept. I'll tell you what's complicated in this by Labor's policy, which is hopeless. It's that if I have investment income, I can negatively gear my property against my investment income. And Labor is saying you can't do it against your income from personal exertion. And this is where it penalises people who have made, and you know, most people who negative gear and invest in property have got one property. Okay, over 70% of people have got just one flat or one apartment. So Labor's policy said, well, you know, you're not going to be able to do this going forward against your salary. But if you have investment income as well, you can. Now that advantages people who are well off, and it penalises people that only have income to offset their losses against. As to your proposition, you'd be able to, you know, going through tax law, well, you'd be able to, you'd normally be able to carry forward those losses into the next tax year. So, look, could you do it? Well, you know, if you're on a fixed income, you could see a way of doing that. If you're on a variable income, it wouldn't work because some years you might do well and some you'd do badly. So you'd find people putting their income into years where they were had a differential tax rate because in some years they make no money, then therefore they'd be advantaged. So I don't think that would quite work. I think it would create a distortion.
Michael, we do have to just take a quick break in this interview shortly and play a couple of messages. But before we go, a couple of questions from our listeners. Daniel has called and asked, can the plebiscite be held with the election? Would that not be a more sensible way? We're going to the polls on July 2nd. Could they incorporate a plebiscite question into that? Something for you to think about while we have a break. And we've had another question from another of our listeners asking, how will your budget affect stations like ours? So
we need money for digital funding. So have a chat to ScoMo about. We only want a couple of mil, you know, a dollar for each member of the GLBTI community in Australia.
There we go. Right. We've also got a message from Luke who suggests that this interview is very political and can there be some balance? Luke, we're doing everything in our power to make sure we have some balance. It is.
I remember we had Michael Danby on a couple of weeks ago, putting exactly the opposite case. So,
absolutely. You know. We try and keep balance. We're going to enjoy some company from the Greens in the next 2 weeks. Either Richard Di Natale or Adam Bant will join us as well. So we'll try and keep the balance as much as possible as we lead into the election on the 2nd of July, which I believe, Michael, we can expect to be called tomorrow morning.
I believe so.
28 minutes past 10, you're on Joy 94.9. We'll take a break and be back.
If you don't know, mate, then...
with Michael Kroger, businessman and Liberal power broker and the president of the Liberal Party in Victoria, it's 28 and a half minutes past.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine. We had a listener that said, Negative Goon, look, just ask Mummy and Daddy to buy you that lovely flat in South Yarra and a holiday house with a pool. Oh,
according to our Prime Minister.
Oh, look, you know.
We should reintroduce our guest. Michael Kroger is our guest. He is the President of the Liberal Party of Victoria. We are talking...
He's your guest? What am I? Chopped liver?
No, well, I hadn't... You're our co-host, Robert.
Oh, I'm Oh, sorry, I've been elevated.
Also in the studio is our co-host, Lord Mayor Robert Dolly Doyle.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, we asked Michael a couple of questions. Do you reckon, will you help us, Michael, in lobbying in the next term of government for some funding for Joy to go digital?
I don't know. I must profess profound ignorance, Macca, as to what government funding of radio stations to go digital is these days.
Nothing. And we're not the ABC, so we're not quite as left.
I'll let that.
You don't have to respond to that, Michael.
You do not have to respond to that.
Well, you are even handed when Robert says you have Michael Danby and others on, and Joy is even handed. So, I don't know what the policy is in relation to funding, and there are lots of community and other organisations that are running radio stations. So I think if Joy put their hand up for $2 million, there'd be a queue. But I suggest you ring Mitch Fifield, who's the communications minister, and get him on the show.
We'll wedge him. We'll corner him.
Yeah. Well, wedge him. If it's only $2 million.
Yeah, that's right. It's only a rounding error in the budget.
It's a rounding error in the budget. As for the plebiscite, look, they could, but they won't. It's obviously going to be a separate. It's going to be a separate plebiscite on a day not coinciding with the election. It'd be a good idea to save the money, but it's not going to happen. It's going to be just focused on the election.
What do people say to you, Michael? You know, you know when you're meeting people and doing business with people. What do people say to you that this, you know, what do they want government to do? We know, you know, you said earlier what the choice is about, but what do people say to you?
You know, fundamentally, people want to make sure that their families and those that, you know, they hand on to have got a strong, stable country. So what does that mean they want? They want, you know, an adult to run the economy. They want to know that businesses are properly regulated. They hate this concept of just debt upon debt upon debt, of budget debt. adding to you know, national debt. They want honesty and integrity in the budgeting process. You know, no one likes these sort of massive deficits being handed on
Michael,
to the next generation.
Just with this, with respect, if we were to look at the deficit when your government came into power and we look at the deficit now, I think we'd find the deficit is currently larger than it was when you came to power. Is that a correct statement?
No, that is a correct statement, and that's because of a whole series of measures that were put in place by the Labor government, which we're starting to fund. It includes things like, the $8 billion that the government had to provide to the Reserve Bank, basically for capital purposes. And, of course, there's a huge amount of savings which they've tried to make, which have been stalled in the Senate. So, and then, of course, you've got $1 billion, you know, a month in interest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you have a whole lot of legacy issues that you can't just turn around in 5 minutes. But Macca, the answer to the question is people want to know that the future is pretty safe and secure. They don't really think that it's fair to be just passing on these massive government debts onto the next generation. It wasn't so long ago that we had no debt and we had budget surpluses. So in the end, everything revolves around the economy. You know, if you want money for schools and hospitals, people have got to be paying taxes and you've got to be making, you know, governments have got to be receiving more than they spend. This is no magic pudding, and this is where you've got the distinction between Turnbull, who's made a few bob and knows how the thing works, and Shorten, who hasn't. That's the way I mean, at its core, that's what it's about. There are a million other issues, of course, that take on different priorities. People are products of their own environment. Some issues affect some people more than others. But at its core, you know, what is going to happen to the national economy? Because everything flows from that.
Do you think the election's going to be close, Michael?
I do. I think the coalition, you know, have got seats at risk in Queensland. They've got seats at risk in New South Wales. Victoria's going to be very tight. It's tended to vote Labor. In 12 of the last 13 federal elections, the Liberal Party here in Victoria has underperformed the national vote.
Western Australia in strife?
Western Australia, there's a couple at risk in Western Australia. The government's got a lot of work to do in the next 2 months because, the last poll showed 50-50. So we got 53.5% at the last election. So if you believe 50-50, there's a 3.5% swing against the government, and that makes it very, very close indeed.
That 50-50, how did that assume Greens' preferences would go, knowing, you know, you want to have a discussion with the Greens in some seats about this? How crucial is that going to be, do you think?
Well, it will be important. That probably presupposes, depending on which poll you use, in these polls, they tend to use the preferences from the previous election as a guide. So essentially 83% of Green preferences would go to the ALP and 17% to the coalition. So, they will be crucial. You take seats like Melbourne Ports, where Danby's running this abusive campaign against the Greens, and he wrote that terrible article and generally, bagging them. Now, I don't agree with their policies, but Michael seems to have taken a fanatical opposition to the Greens, and I think he's lost the plot, quite frankly, in relation to that. So why Green voters in Melbourne Ports would give him their second preference is beyond me. I don't know that they will to the same extent. So Melbourne Ports is a little bit in play because historically, you take the last election, we got 41 in round terms, Macca, we got 41. Mm. Danby 31, the Greens 21. So Danby only wins on getting a huge number of Green preferences. And if the Green preferences to Danby fall away, he's at risk in that seat. So the answer to your question is how important in a seat like that, very important.
Well, he has had his pension election, so it doesn't matter.
Michael Kroger is our guest. he is the president of the Victorian Liberal Party. He's a power broker and a businessman. A question for both Robert and yourself, Michael. We've seen just in the last couple of days, we've to pay $30,000 to the Save the Children Fund for something that happened under the former Immigration Minister Scott Morrison. There's been this situation with this woman and her abortion in Papua New Guinea under Peter Dutton's watch. How do these things affect a government going into an election? Will they have a negative impact? Robert, I'll check in with you first, perhaps.
Look, I think that people, one of the most powerful statements John Howard ever made in a quite remarkable career as Prime Minister was, we will decide who comes to our country. And that resonated with the vast majority of Australian people. But having said that, none of us have hard hearts. I mean, you know, you don't want to see human misery and you don't want to see humans put in danger or in extreme circumstances. But unfortunately, this debate tends to get boiled down to very binary, fairly facile arguments on each side. So, look, I wish I had an answer for it. If there's one thing that I would never wish upon myself, it would be a minister responsible for all of this.
Mm.
So it's a really tough nut. And they're the two forces at play. Individual stories of tragedy versus very large national border issues. And if you look at, you know, what is happening in some other parts of the world inside the country where they have lost control of their borders, you know, that's why you see the rise of politicians like Donald Trump, you know, promising to build a wall, you know, between the United States and Mexico. That sort of extremism, which plays into people's worst fears, is not what you want to see when people feel that you've lost control of your borders.
Michael, would you agree that this is not going to be a huge dampener on the election?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it will be. To take Robert's point, I mean, support for the immigration in Australia is always at its highest when the immigration process is orderly. And when it becomes disorderly, you know, i.e. arrivals, unauthorised arrivals by boat, that's when support for the immigration program in Australia tends to decline. So that's a secondary reason as to why you should keep the borders secure. But, you know, to take Robert's other point, you know, he's right. No one has a hard heart. I mean, these are shocking situations. No one will wish these situations on anybody. And this is the result of the misery created by the people smugglers preying on, you know, naive and wishful parents who want to try and find a better life for their families and their kids. They get lured on those boats, and this is the consequence. So, you know, everyone is very distressed by these situations, and the situations on Manus and the other centres, you know, Nauru, etc. I mean, but this has been going on for years, and the only policy that seemed to work is the Howard Abbott Turnbull government policy. That's the only policy that seems to have worked, and in the end, it stopped people drowning, and that has been the principal objective in recent years. You know, 1,200 people drowned at sea, and Sarah Hanson-Young said, "Oh, accidents happen." I mean, that was just one of the most appalling statements we've heard in Australian politics. The whole thing's very distressing.
We have to go, Michael. I've got one really quick question. Damien Mantak pleaded guilty yesterday. Should there be an offence, the guy who stole all that money from you, should there be an offence in the Crimes Act for potentially costing the government an election? Because that's what he did.
No,
you don't have to answer that either, Michael.
No. It's more nicking off with the petty cash tin, I think.
Yeah, obviously it's been a very distressful period for the party, so... But he's not going to be sent until next month, so we don't make any comment about that.
We are grateful for your time. Thank you for joining
us
this morning.
Anytime.
See you soon, Michael.
Cheers, Robert. Bye.
Michael Kroger, President of Victorian Liberal Party. You are on SatMag. When we come back, there's more.
There is indeed more.
There's a lot more.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.